Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio's special program about our new Upper Peninsula stations. And so in the studio with me today is our president and his wife, David and Bethany Bolduc. And they really are. He's the president, but they're co-founders.
Amen.
And so we've got miracles that have happened that we're going to share with everybody about what's going on with these new UP stations. Before we get started, Bethany, would you offer prayer?
I'd love to. Thanks, Jelaine. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we just want to thank you. We praise your name. You've been with this ministry from the beginning.
Amen.
And you've definitely had your hand over these stations, and we've seen how you've worked. And we just want to give you the praise, honor, and glory. We want to thank you, and we ask that you would be with us as we record this program and as the listeners will hear it, that it will be an encouragement to many. And
yes,
we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. It's without saying, we have 25 stations, right, David?
Yes.
On the air. Every single one have been a miracle.
That's right.
Some, though, have had more miracles.
Yeah, some have. The Lord opened doors where it looked like the enemy had shut every opportunity.
And this especially happened with our two new UP stations. And where are they?
The two stations are in Houghton and Iron Mountain.
Okay. And they previously, there was no Strong Tower Radio they could get in, because we have a few stations up there.
You know, we were driving up there just yesterday, the day before, as of this recording. And with the typical coverage from Houghton, we wouldn't be able to hear it. Now, once you get downrange a little ways, you can start hearing fragments of WUPJ, but typically you can't hear WUPJ. That was our western station, which Escanaba is kind of the middle of the UP. So that station really reaches out, but you get to a point and there's no signal for Strong Tower Radio on the western side.
Don't forget Ironwood.
That's right. Correct. Yeah. We have our little Ironwood station.
Which is the most western.
That's the furthest
west.
They're
very important.
Yes,
even though they're tiny, they're mighty.
Yep. And that was another miracle, because I looked and looked and looked and finally found a tower that, praise the Lord, we found a tower that we could build that station on. And that was 10 years ago.
So God keeps blessing us and covering more and more of the whole state of Michigan.
Yes.
But we still have, Southeast Michigan. I don't know what God's doing. He's waiting for something. I don't know what.
You know, there's every now and then you get a little glimpse of maybe there's something working out. So we'll just wait and see.
And then there's other areas that there are pockets, because they're in between two stations. And in fact, I was talking to Pastor Steve Shefka, who is pastor at St. Charles and Saginaw. Well, Saginaw's over there in the Thumb, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have a station in the Thumb, but it doesn't reach Saginaw.
There are areas in Saginaw. We drove through there not too long ago, and we've been driving a lot. And that's true. There are parts of Saginaw where you can't hear the station. On the southern side of Saginaw, you can start picking up the station. So it's always a terrain issue. There are areas where the hills block the signal, or the other things in the terrain, atmosphere. So we have more coverage now than we've ever had, obviously. But there are areas where you can actually hear two or three Strong Tower Radio stations.
Yes, yeah.
Well, the terrain is really obvious with two of our stations, with WUPJ and the town of Munising.
Yes.
And with WGCP, our flagship, and the town of Tower City.
Yeah.
You know, both of those towns, the signal is like shooting right over the main part of town, because it's up on a bluff that you can hear us, but then you drop down to the water and you can't hear us in the downtown part, because it's the difference between the bluff and the downtown.
Right, but well, that's why when I finally learned to understand, that's how I explained to people. The airway, you know, we're the airways are straight across the air.
Yes.
But then when the town goes down towards the water,
yep, mm-hmm.
They lose.
Yep. On the frequencies for the FM band, it typically are line of sight. There is a little bit over the horizon, but typically it's line of sight. So if you can see the signal, if you could see the tower, but that's kind of generalizing it, but FM radio is typically line of sight.
Okay. So these two stations, Houghton, which is way up there.
On the Keweenaw Peninsula.
That's right.
Yep.
And
then Iron Mountain, which is really close. Actually, to get there, at least one of the directions we came through, Wisconsin, to get there. It's just really
it's kind of across the river from Wisconsin,
yeah,
basically.
Literally. It's a really nice area.
So we don't know how far the signal's going into Wisconsin, do we?
No.
Not yet.
But we'll see.
Yeah. When did we get the permits to build these stations?
We applied in the fall of 2021, and we actually applied for a station in Norway, Michigan. But there were other interested parties, and they had more points than we did, and so we lost that. So we put in 10 applications, and one of those applications was for Norway, but through the course of events, we lost that one. Then the group won that with the bidding process, and it's not like an auction, but anyways, they put in their application. They had more points than we did. They contacted us because we had purchased another station from them, WUPJ, many years ago, and they were asked if we were interested, and we said we were. And so and this is all public knowledge, through the course of events, we bought the license for them, and the expiration date was September 2nd, 2025. And we took ownership of that a little over 2 years ago. And so through the course of events, we've been trying to build the station, but there have been numerous obstacles to build the station.
Because FCC gives you 3 years to
use
it.
3 years, yes.
But some things happen sometimes, and you can't.
Right.
And
one of the things that I like to explain, because people don't quite understand this, the getting a radio license from the FCC is totally different than like getting your driver's license, for instance. Because if we want to get a driver's license, we just we can either schedule it or we can just walk in and we can do it whenever we want to. It's kind of on our schedule. But with the FCC, we can only make an application for a new radio station when they tell you there's an opening. And they tell you, you know, between this date and this date, we will accept applications. And those dates only come about every like 10 to 15 years.
Right.
And then when you're awarded it, from the date you're awarded it, you have 3 years to build it. So with these 10 stations that we applied for, and 10 is the maximum you can apply for at a time, we had them expiring at different junctures. And so, you know, logically, you work on the ones that are expiring first a little bit more diligently. Not that you forget about the others, but they're kind of on the back burner, just simmering. Like you do a few things and, you know, you start looking at parts and pieces or towers, or occasionally you'll bring them out and work on them a little bit, but they're not your top priority because they have more time. And so we got down to the last of our construction permits, and we've built one in the Thumb. We've built the Owasso station. There has been several down in Southwest Michigan. There's been many that we've built in the course of the last 3 years since we started getting these construction permits. But these two up in the UP were the last two to expire. So they were kind of the ones they got focused on at the end.
So Iron Mountain, was expiring the same date?
Same day, both of them on September 2nd.
But now Iron Mountain, we had that for 3 years.
No, we did not have for 3 years. We had less than 3 years.
Okay.
Because we bought it.
But the Houghton we had for 3 years,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and so listeners, there's a lot to understand about the FCC and radio stations and being able to, you know, acquire permits for new stations, buying stations. Yeah, there's a lot of rules.
Right.
But so these two stations up in the UP, I mean, it's been one thing after another that was going wrong, right, David?
Yeah, we applied, well, once we took ownership of this, the construction permit for Iron Mountain, we learned that the tower site was not available. And there was numerous issues, and I will go into that. So then I needed to, then I had to start looking for a new tower location. And ironically, there's 10 towers on that hill. And I, and there's other towers adjacent to the hill. And I started looking at other opportunities, and our engineer did some site visits, and each site that we looked at had a challenge. You know, we'll go into the, all the details, but there was, because you're in the hills in Iron Mountain, Iron Mountain is built on a hill, obviously, but there are other issues to get the signal. And this was a directional station, so we have to send it to the southeast. Well, if you're on the back side of a hill and there's a hill between you and the southeast, you're not going to get your full coverage. It's going to weaken the signal because of the whole line of sight. So we had to find a tower that was downrange of that. And there were several towers downrange. And I contacted different tower companies, and for various reasons, they weren't available. So I had to go back to the Iron Mountain area and look at other opportunities. So it's just, there were numerous challenges to trying to get this forward. And this isn't my full-time job of looking for stations and towers and opportunities. This is just one of the other things on my plate. And so I have to do my regular duties and then fit this in. So it's there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and people don't understand. It's not like you can just, oh, there's a tower, I can go on it.
Right.
Because there might already be too many on it.
There's too many antennas, and you have to do a structural analysis on that tower. And every time you look at a different tower, you have to really gauge, is this where we want to go? Because if it is, then you're looking at several thousand dollars for a structural analysis. Well, this is money that's been donated to the ministry. You don't want to just throw it here, throw it there, and every tower, let's do a structural analysis and see which one works best. You got to do more due diligence.
And those, not overloading a tower is super important. I think most of our listeners will remember the recent ice storm in the upper portion of lower Michigan. Within the last 6 months or so, there was a really bad ice storm, and there were towers that collapsed. There were towers that fell down.
Several.
And
those towers had structural analysis on them, but the ice loading, like
it's the ice loading on those antennas, because you have ice on the tower, you have ice on each antenna, you have ice on the feed line, and sometimes it's too heavy.
Whenever you look at the ice that was building up, sometimes the ice was so thick it was thicker than your leg.
Oh my word!
On these towers, there was significant ice buildup on these towers, and you've got huge loading already with all the steel in the feed line. Feed lines are not light. These, because we carried a couple of feed lines in the past couple of weeks.
Yep.
One was 300 feet, one was 150 feet, and these are heavy things.
What is the diameter of a feed line?
Well, it could be a 7/8 inch line is from the center out, so it's probably about 1.5 inches to a 3 inch. And then a 3-inch feed line, which we have used at WUPJ, is actually probably about 5.5-6 inches wide.
That's a big...
And that's a lot of loading on a tower. So, and that's on the tower every day, all day, with the wind, with the rain, with the ice accumulation. And it's just a lot of stress on the steel going up.
So then you had mentioned about directional. See, people might not understand that either about, you can't just put your antenna up there and it's going to just, 360 degrees be able to.
Well, in some situations in the past year or so, since we started building these stations last July. The first station we built was down in Tower Hill, Illinois, because that one was set to expire in December. So we started building that in July. We got that taken care of. But that was a directional antenna. And so what it's doing is it's sending the signal in one area, just like a flashlight, shoots it down one direction. Other stations, like in South Haven, we were originally going to go with the directional, but we looked at that, and because there was no other applications for that frequency, we didn't have to maintain the points and everything. And I know this is a lot of stuff going over people's head, but basically we took a directional and we made an omnidirectional of it. And we were able to build it with a lot less power, and it was able to be built really quick. With a directional antenna, you have to have a surveyor come to the site and site the antenna to make sure it's right exactly where it's supposed to be, so you're not interfering with other people. Because
that's
what
the whole point is, interference. Because we're trying to fit new radio stations in an already fairly full field of radio stations.
Yes.
And radio stations have a protected contour that basically says other stations aren't going to interfere with their signal in this area. And so when you put in a new station, you have to be careful. And that's where specialized software comes into place, where we have, you know, engineering help, where we have a firm that we consult with on these things, and where the surveyors come in on these directional antennas, because you want to make sure that just like we want our signal to be protected for our radio stations, we want to protect the signals for other people's radio stations as well.
Well, that's why when you're driving and you've got a station, you know, on your radio, and then all of a sudden, well, you're picking up something else because you're getting far enough away
Or you're getting out of the pattern for your station, and you're driving in, just like if you're listening to 89.7 in the Grand Rapids area. If you go north, you'll start losing it. But if you go one channel over, there's another Strong Tower radio station in Greenville, so 89.9. So when you're driving out of one, you're driving into another. And, you know, we have not sat down and looked at where we can build stations to overlap our network of stations. The Lord has placed each of these stations in these areas. And so, like with NHG in Grand Rapids, 89.7. If you go north, you tune over to 89.9, and there is Greenville. And then if you go further north from there, tune to 91.9. Now you're in the Cadillac station, WGCP. That's one of the reasons why at the top of the hour, and some people find it annoying, but if you listen to all these different stations as you're driving through Michigan, you can now listen to Strong Tower Radio from the northern side of South Bend all the way over to soon, whenever this is on the air, when this recording goes on the air, we will have a station in Houghton. You can listen to Strong Tower Radio almost continuously from South Bend over to Wisconsin and up to Houghton.
That's amazing.
That's why we do the station IDs at the top of the hour, to let people know, oh, I'm close to this station, now I can turn over to that frequency. It'd be great if we just had an app, and I'd love to get this app where it says, oh, Strong Tower Radio, here's my location, where's my closest station? That's coming, hopefully.
That's great. Well, that's one reason, you know, whenever I'm around or talk about Strong Tower Radio in front of people, I always have our promo cards and say, you've got to put one of these in your car.
Yeah.
Everybody. So, and it's amazing. People, oh, yes, I want one, because they're traveling, you know, and anybody that's in lower Michigan, they go vacationing up in the UP. Well, they don't know where we're at.
That's right.
So, okay, well, listen, we got to take a quick break, but stay tuned, folks. We're going to come back and talk more about these miracles that have happened getting these stations on the air.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio and our special program that we're talking about, our new radio stations up in the UP that almost didn't happen, right, David?
That's right.
you know? And so before we go about that, though, we're talking, David had talked about trying, maybe we'll get another app so you can be able to find us easier. But right now we do have an app for Strong Tower Radio. And you just need to go to your app store and str.fm, and you can find it and download us. And then you can listen to us anywhere, whether there's a radio that's on the air, over the airwaves, in your car or wherever you're at. And in fact, I know people, because I'm a snowbird, I know people from Lower Michigan that listen to it all the time, especially in the morning when they wake up. So
very nice.
That's right. So str.fm. You can put it on, you know, your phone. You can have it on your computer, any of your devices. So, David, let's talk about, we weren't sure we were going to be able to have these radio stations, right?
Well, looking at it now that we've passed the deadline, there was many twists and turns to this. And for us, it's been a journey of faith, because we had a desire a couple of years ago, was it before Mom passed away? Bethany's grandfather had an international pickup truck in 1960, and my mom loved old vehicles. And I know this is a little bit of a side journey, but there's a point to it. We talked about getting that in the Buckley Old Engine Show or in a parade or something. Just really neat to have.
It's a 1960, and yeah, it still has its original paint, and it looks old and cool, vintage.
And so we were talking about at our church over Lake City, what are we going to do for the greatest 4th of the North parade?
Oftentimes the Lake City Church has a float, quote unquote, float in the parade. Mm-hmm. And Strong Tower Radio has had a float in the past. Yeah. And I know several other Adventist businesses have been represented in the parade as well. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's just a cool thing, community thing to do and get yourself out there and get noticed.
Well, it's fun to be in a parade.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
For sure.
So we were talking at a prayer meeting, and at one point, we're like, oh, we don't know. It's just a lot of effort to get into it.
And initially, there really wasn't anybody that wanted to spearhead it this year. So,
well, everybody is so overloaded with stuff. And, you know, everybody's just trying their best to just keep things going and family and everything. But we said, well, what if we were to have a float? Because the theme was military.
Right.
And so what if we were to have a float that was actually because the truck is green, let's see if we can do something with that. And so the more
ideas
talked,
just flowed that
night.
It was
just like, wow, this is really going somewhere. Problem is, truck didn't start, didn't run. We've been trying. I'm not a mechanic, but I was trying to get it running and talk to different people that know mechanics.
You've been working on that for a couple of years.
Yeah. So anyhow, in the last week, there's a couple of guys in the church that are mechanics. They came over. One guy came over, and others were, you know, just giving us tips and hints, and we had it started, but it wouldn't continue to run. And so we realized we need a new carburetor kit, and
which is not easy to find for a 1960 International in today's world.
And so that was like on Sunday. We figured out, okay, so one of the guys came over, took the truck over to the mechanic's house
on a flatbed trailer. They trailered it.
Mm-hmm. And we had to get insurance. We had to get all the stuff because in faith.
In the license plate.
We were going to have this truck in the parade, but we didn't have a running truck. But we were getting license plates. We were getting insurance.
We had banners. Somebody else ordered the banners. Yeah. Another person ordered shirts. We had this whole slogan, missionary, army, or
serving him.
Serving him. Yeah. So we were like a MASH unit.
Yeah. And we were basing it on the whole MASH theme. But the truck wasn't running. And so we next day aired a carburetor kit to our mechanic.
I think it was from Florida, through eBay.
He got it on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we had the truck running at the church.
God decorated it.
Worked things out that the truck was actually, drove it over, you know, insurance, all that stuff's covered right there. It was in the church parking lot. We decorated it.
I think we did a really good job. I didn't do much of the decorating, but we had like a cot, and we had one person that was dressed kind of like a doctor, and then we had someone laying on the cot like a patient, and we had a cross that was up against the cab, leaning against the cab a little bit, attached to the cab kind of so it would stay stable. and then they had an IV bag that looked like it had blood in it, that it was hung on the cross down to the patient. So it was kind of like that visualizing of Christ's blood heals us.
In the TV show MASH, they have these big bullhorn speakers. I've got one from our old in-gathering days. If people know what in-gathering is, when you go out playing Christmas music between Thanksgiving and Christmas and collecting money for missions, we had one of those speakers up on the roof. We also had a little red light spinning up there to make it look
like crank air raid sirens that we were running to make it sound like
the whole thing came together in just the last few days. And so when 4th of July Friday rolled around, we were in the parade and we got second place.
Out of everybody.
And there were hundreds of entries in there. There was other radio stations. There was
businesses, a lot of people, lots of businesses.
And we got second place.
Yeah.
And going through that whole process, I thought, look what God can do at the very last minute. He can bring the right elements together and get it done. So while it looked like these stations wasn't going to happen, still, God had given me a vision of this still can happen. Don't give up. Keep pressing forward.
Well, amen. And that's right. God can do anything. We know he can, but we sometimes don't have enough faith.
You have to stand on his promises.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So what was the issue with Houghton?
Well, with Houghton, I saw that the tower that we had wanted to put on just did not look like it was substantial enough to hold the antennas that we would need. Because the pattern was a directional antenna, it looked like we needed a very strong tower. Strong tower. We needed a substantial tower to hold the mass of these antennas because they each weighed a couple hundred pounds. And we were going to need 6 antennas on that tower. And so looking from this perspective, looking back, I can see other options. But at that time, this was the pattern that we had applied for with the FCC. And so by moving to this other alternate tower location, just down the road, literally just hundreds of feet away from a TV tower, which we tried to get on, but that didn't work out. We looked at this as an option, so I started the process of getting the paperwork in order with the first got to get the permission from the tower owner, and then they wanted their structural analysis. But there was just delays where I would ask a question about an antenna, and there would be a delay getting a response back. Sometimes it was a day, sometimes it was 2 days.
Sometimes it was because somebody went on vacation.
Yeah,
I can't begin to tell you how many times that was the answer. Like, my husband would send an email. He'd come home and he'd tell me, well, I got an out-of-office reply that they're on vacation. Right. Or he'd try calling them on the phone. Oh, you got to talk to so-and-so, but they're on vacation
and
this
week. It wasn't just because... Okay, we've had 2 years to build it. People might be wondering, well, you've had 3 years to build this thing. Why didn't you get it done sooner? Well, the first thing was, before we can actually move forward, we got to have the funds to do this. Mm-hmm. And there was a delay in some of that. Not to put anybody in a negative light, because we've got 9 stations to build. So I had to get all the others going. And the last one to expire before these two was in March. So I've been busy building these other stations.
And the fundraiser has been busy raising funds for the other stations too.
Right. And so we've all been doing our diligence to get this done. But once we got the March station up and running down in Bridgman, then we started the focus on getting these 2 stations done. And looking at the tower we'd originally listed and the size of the antennas that we would need to get this built, it looked like the wiser choice was to go to an alternate tower site that was owned by the same tower company, which I won't mention, and build from there. But there was delays and questions and more delays and questions about the tower, the structure, the orientation, the slope of the tower, because it's not a guide tower, it's a self-supporting tower. And so you got to have standoff brackets and all these other things. And I saw this was just taking longer, so I thought, let's just go back to the original tower location and go with a lighter weight antenna. And so we moved forward with that, and we ordered the antenna. and we had a structural analysis done on that. But that took longer than expected. I went into that ordering process well within 30 days of the time period that we had to still build the station. But there was more delays. People on vacation, like Bethany said, delays with numerous different challenges. And so towards the end, I asked the consulting engineer, can we build the station as omnidirectional? And he came back with a yes. And so I said, what is the absolute minimum that we can build on this tower to make it omnidirectional? And he gave me the power level, and I thought, let's do that. Well, then I took that to the tower company, and they said, oh, we can't do that. You've got to go back 4 weeks or so and start
back to square one, basically. Yes. Get another structural analysis, even though it was a smaller antenna.
And I understand from their perspective, they want to know what's on their tower at any one time. But we were running out of time. And so I checked with the local TV station, is there any way we could get this on your tower? And all along, I've been wanting to get on their tower. There was just something that drew me back to that tower.
So you never had asked them in the first...
We had.
Okay.
And they told us, no, there's no space on there. But I noticed that there was another radio station on their tower that had recently applied for a construction permit to build what's called an auxiliary station. With the ice storm last winter, antennas were damaged, I should say, by the ice storm. So with the damage to their antennas, they're not able to run full power. So they put an application in to run at reduced power on a secondary antenna, which they call an auxiliary antenna. And I looked at the frequency and I thought, that's really close to the frequency we're going to broadcast on. So we wouldn't interfere, but we could share the same antenna with them. So I wrote to them and asked, would you be willing, if we were to pay for the antenna and all the hardware, to share antennas with you? And they wrote back and said, yes. But it took a couple of days to get that process.
And this was another radio station?
Yes.
Okay. But it wasn't...
You know, like, frequencies and antennas are kind of like shoes and feet. They're not all the same size or the same shape. So, you know, like, if you have, say, 91.9, it's going to take a different type of antenna than, like, 107. Mm-hmm. And because, so, yeah. You know, but then there's sometimes people can share a pair of shoes, like maybe overshoes or galoshes or something. And so it's kind of more like that. We're going to just share... And we're going to be on different frequencies, but it's similar enough that we can share with them.
And some antennas are broadband enough that you could do both frequencies on it. Many, mm-hmm. many antenna companies will make an antenna that's broadbanded enough that it'll cover a wide range of the FM band, where with the antennas that we were planning on using, very narrow for just one frequency. And so we looked at the option and asked them if they'd be willing to share an antenna with us if we provided the antenna and the feed line and all that stuff.
And there's a thing called a combiner.
Mm-hmm. So you combine all the frequencies into one feed line, it goes up to one antenna. That's what we're doing with our Grand Haven station. There's another station that we share the antenna with them, two separate frequencies, but the same antenna, same feed line, and it works out. So this was an opportunity for us to share an antenna that would be on this tower, and it would accomplish what we both need to cover the Houghton area and that surrounding region.
We even drove up there a week ago without even knowing for sure that we had permission to do that.
Well, we drove up there in the hopes that whenever we got there, everything would work out. We had permission to be on the tower. We had an initial agreement to consider this, but whenever we got there, the Lord had made the way possible, so we had permission to get there and go on the facilities.
So is this, when they can share, does that helps in saving costs for both entities?
No, actually it doesn't, because you're both renting space off the same tower, and the tower is owned by one group and another group owns the shelter. But it does help with tower loading. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. If you have too many antennas, too many feed lines going up a tower, you're going to compromise the tower, and now everybody's in trouble. You know, as far as, you know, your stations are not able to get out.
Okay, and this is for the Houghton station.
That's for the Houghton station. Yeah.
So, like, how far does the Houghton station cover?
Well, it's going to... That's a good question, because it's hard for me to say. I'm not from the Houghton area. But we had it on the air, and Bethany was able to hear it well into Houghton and beyond. We haven't been able to drive it to see what the coverage area is.
Well, those of you that have been to Houghton or live in the UP and have been through there, it's on a very big hill that has a very interesting two-track to get up to the top of the hill. And there were some ruts on that two-track that if your tire went down in the rut, you could change your tire because you would be like sitting on your axle. So we had to be very careful.
It would reach
going up
about 25 miles in
so,
every direction.
You know, Houghton itself is like the Walmart at the south side of town is on a bluff, and then you go down to the river. And then Hancock is on the other side of the river, and you go up the hill to get to the rest of the Keweenaw Peninsula, like, you know, if you're going up to Copper Harbor. So I'm not exactly sure. Nobody's for sure until we're on the air 100% of the time and at our full power exactly. You know, is that river area going to be able to get the signal, or is it going to shoot over the top of it? I'm pretty sure it's going to go over the bluff of Hancock because of how high up the tower is and the hill that we are on. I think we're going to be able to get up into the peninsula. But we're guessing at this point. This is guessing.
I'm looking it up right now. So basically, it'll reach about 25 miles in all directions, just depending on the terrain.
So it could go out into Lake Superior.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Conceivably,
yeah.
Yes.
Once the signal goes across the water, it like hydroplanes across to the other side.
Yeah.
And that's one of the considerations we had to deal with, is because of the agreements the United States has with Canada, we are not allowed to interfere with other stations. And so we have to, there's a contour line that cannot touch Canadian soil. So we, at some point, we could potentially negotiate with Canada if there's no other stations there to increase our power. But as things are right now, we're blessed to have a 2,000-watt station there on that tower.
And so that's not full power?
That will be full power for us, yes.
Okay.
Now, can we increase it at some point? You know, we'll see. This is one of those things where, you know, you can go to the grocery store or a pharmacy and get a pair of glasses. But when you go to an optometrist, they can measure what you really need. And so we're going to have to do further studies on that. But it's just such a blessing to be able to walk through this whole process and see how the Lord opened the door time and time again to get these stations built.
Okay, well, it's time to take another quick break. But stay tuned, because we have more stories to tell you about how God has blessed Strong Tower Radio.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. I'm Jalene Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio's special program about our new UP stations and how, David, you told us it was September 2nd that The licenses had to be on the air.
Yes.
The program, or yeah, mm-hmm. the permits had. Yeah. And we were not sure that was going to happen.
But, you know, all through that, after the opportunity of being in the parade over in Lake City, I started praying Proverbs 21, verse 1. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. He can change it like he does the rivers. And in my Bible, I put a date next to that. And then there's a text in Ezra chapter 7, verse 27, Nehemiah chapter 1. My Bible's full of notes claiming dates and promises. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. All of these talk about God worked in the heart of those in authority to make decisions. And I was praying for this national tower company. I was praying for the local tower companies, even to get our tower climbers into the UP. They had another job. We were supposed to be at the tower on Monday so they could hang the antennas on Monday at the Houghton location, but we didn't have everything in order yet. So they said, well, we can put you off a couple of days. Let us know. They were going to drive up on Sunday. We drove up on Sunday. But on the way up, we had obstacles in our way. And one of the most beautiful things we saw was a rainbow. And whenever we bought this station, the day before, I was out in the garden with Bethany and just talking like, where's the funds going to come for buying this station
here?
The studio. Mm-hmm. We needed almost $500,000. We had half the money. Yeah, and so there was a rainbow. There was a storm that went through, just a rain shower, beautiful rainbow. And we had our potluck, our Strong Tower Radio Sister Church potluck here on Sabbath afternoon a couple weeks ago. After everybody was done, there was a rain shower that went through, and there was a beautiful rainbow on the eastern side. Mm-hmm. And looking back to the west, it was sundown, Sabbath afternoon, Sabbath evening, rainbow to the east, beautiful sunset to the west. And I thought, God's got his hand on this. All these things that are causing us challenges, stresses, he's got his hand. So when we were driving from Lake City over to Houghton, we saw this beautiful rainbow in the east. And it wasn't just your typical rainbow, the seven bands. It was like the Aurora Borealis to me, with more blues and more pinks and mm-hmm. more.
The purple was so vivid.
It was just very vivid, and like God's got his hand on this whole trip.
It lasted and lasted like 15, 20 minutes. We could still see the rainbow.
Yeah, because that doesn't normally happen.
No,
they're beautiful and they go, but it was just there. And
so by the time we got to Houghton Lake and started heading north to the Mackinac Bridge, which is always a highlight for us, we love crossing the bridge. We just had this like, God's got his hand on this. And so as we made our way up there,
we ended up pulling into a rest stop in Marquette, and we slept for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
So by then it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were like, I don't think we can safely keep driving.
The next day, Monday, we drove past the tower where we're going to be, and gate was closed. We came back through there.
We didn't realize it was our turn because it's a little obscure to find the driveway to the tower.
But you went by. You saw that the
gate was closed.
And
so we drove back through.
We went up a little farther and we turned around because we thought, oh, that was probably where we needed to be. So we turned around and we came back and we found the little side road that we had to turn off of to get to the driveway, and the gate was open.
Yep.
And so we were able to drive up.
And we saw where we were going to be and just like, oh, praise the Lord.
There's two towers on the hill, and we think that the person that opened the gate was actually working at the other tower because we never saw them.
But it was just another opportunity. And all these things just start lining up like, look what God did.
And then the weather was interesting. You know, it really seemed like it was a spiritual battle. In all of the way, we just had to hang on to the Lord and just keep putting one foot like another quarter of an inch in front of the other one, just day after day, hour after hour.
And we took our RV up there, and she followed Bethany and my son Jonathan, took turns driving up there.
In the van.
And
because with an RV, you get it, you don't have transportation if all you have is your RV, because once you make camp, you're there.
And we're pulling the Strong Tower Radio Quartet. They were kind enough to let us borrow the trailer, so all the equipment's in the trailer. We're caravanning up there. And through that whole process, every night I'd go to sleep thinking, God is my Heavenly Father, my Abba Father, like a child calls Dad, Daddy. And Jesus is the teacher. The disciples would constantly go to him as the teacher. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And the comforter isn't just the person you cry on the shoulder. He is your protector. He is your provider. Everything that you need is the Holy Spirit's job. Whenever the Holy Spirit came down in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was entrusted with everybody on earth who would trust in Jesus' name to provide for their every need. So the Holy Spirit is our provider. And so every night when we're going through this whole process, I'm just praying, Father, give us wisdom, make these opportunities a reality if it's according to your will, and just claiming those promises. And day by day, night by night, I would get good sleep, which sometimes isn't the norm for me, but I was getting good sleep every night up there. And so on Monday, we saw the tower. Tuesday, we had scheduled with our engineer to be there. Wednesday at the Houghton Station.
And Tuesday, the weather was picture perfect. Yep. It was no clouds, blue sky, perfect temperature. Like, you couldn't have asked for a more gorgeous day anywhere.
And then Wednesday, we had scattered showers. And that's all the day the tower crew was to be there. And those guys were they're great. They worked through it. It wasn't comfortable.
Thankfully, it was warm enough that they weren't too frigid up there.
And we're only at 110 feet, so that's not a big challenge for them. These guys climb 900,000-foot towers, but for them, this was a light-duty job. And they're great to work with, and we gave them a treat.
Well, you know, I was thinking when you're talking about the rainbow, I mean, the rainbow is a promise for us.
It is. Anyways. That the Lord will not let this overwhelm you. There's going to be something, whatever you're going through, this will not overwhelm you. He will provide you a way through it.
And one of the things was that when we were packing up, David, just the thought went through his mind about different connectors and brackets and hangers, things like, you know, parts and pieces. And just he acted on that thought, and so we had those things along, and they did
them.
End up being needed.
And
yes,
you know, it's really important as a Christian to remember that whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, stop what you're doing and do what he just told you to do, because if you don't do that, you're going to kick yourself and you wish you would have done that. And I talked to different individuals and like, oh, I saw that thing and I didn't grab it. Okay, stop what you're doing. You know, my dad used to say, do what the teacher says. Okay, well, if the Lord tells you you need this part, don't question him, just get it.
Because if you hadn't had them, what would have happened?
We would have had to improvise, or we would have had to have something overnighted or something like that.
Well, and talking about overnighted, the antenna for Iron Mountain had to be driven out from California because the antenna company was on, I don't know if they were lagging on their time schedule or
there was delays. They did a great job, but there's delays. People we were talking to, they're going through family challenges and they're trying to work through this with us.
So the regular shipping methods, we wouldn't have gotten it in time. So they actually had a two-driver crew, and they had it on some sort of a vehicle, and they drove from California.
They delivered it to.
They got it to us on Thursday morning at 8 a.m.
They met our engineer at a predetermined location. He said, okay, follow me. They drove to the tower, and they unloaded from a truck at the tower site. That was Thursday morning, and that's when the day the tower crew was to be there at the tower to
hang
the antenna.
And if the antenna hadn't been there, and it would cost us money, though, because,
oh, it cost us money, yeah.
They were there.
We got it done. And so just time and time and time again, that what the enemy looks like, and I don't give the devil any credit, but every obstacle he threw in the way, the Lord made an opportunity of it. And that's the God we serve, that he takes the challenges and he makes opportunities to be faithful to him, to share what he's doing so other people can be encouraged.
Well, that just reminds me of my favorite verse, Romans 8:28, that all things work for good.
It does.
You know, and that, because the devil is trying to do whatever he can to destroy and discourage us. God is faithful and more powerful. We just sometimes forget. Yeah. And so how many days everything come into place? Right. So when, like, what was the date? Because we had September 2nd.
So we had the antenna, we had the radio station in Houghton on Wednesday of last, let's see, you have to look back and see. So we had the Houghton station on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we had to take the equipment.
August 27th. Mm-hmm.
So we actually, August 27th, we had the transmitter there. And then on Thursday, we had that station on the air for a short amount of time. There was another issue that we had to resolve. We're still working on that.
Broadcasting tests.
Yep. But we had the broadcast test. The antennas tuned up perfectly. There was no issues with the feed line. One of the biggest challenges that you have whenever you're putting a station on the air is to make sure that the power going to the antenna doesn't reflect back into the transmitter. If you're on the wrong, if the antenna's tuned to the wrong frequency, you've got a problem. And so that's going to burn up your transmitter. Plus, it's going to cause interference to everybody else on the other FM stations. So we passed all those tests without any issues. And it was just another praise the Lord that we were on the air. And we had to shut them down because of different things, but we're doing tests to make sure that everything's in place. The biggest thing is just we praise the Lord that we were able to get all this done in the time amount that was allocated to us.
And then we were back in the UP, just the two of us without the RV, to be there when the surveyor aligned the antennas to make sure that for the Iron Mountain Station
and
being directional.
It wasn't so much to look over the shoulder of everybody to see what was going on. Besides just being curious about it, there was equipment that we needed to transport back to our Houghton station. So we were there to facilitate and to help and to be a support. And plus we gave we had another tower crew there, and we were able to give them a gift too. So the whole thing was just to work through the situation and to be a blessing to people, and so we could help shoulder the burden of responsibility and not just dump it on one person.
So I'm hearing you talk about you have to have tests to make sure everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as it's okay, then the FCC, but you might not be right on the air at that time, right?
Well, yeah, you can't. In some circumstances, you can begin broadcasting them, but there's program authority tests. There's all these different things that you've got to go through. And then once the FCC grants your license, then you can begin broadcasting. But because we're at a shared tower location, we've got to work out the details with electricity and contracts and everything. So we're meeting all the requirements of the FCC at this point, and that's our intention. We're going to make sure we get all these points covered, but maintain all the licensing.
So as of this recording, we're not on the air 100% of the time.
But we are going to be on the air.
Soon. Mm-hmm. There's still tests that will be run, and periodically we will be broadcasting from both of these locations. But, as soon as possible, our goal is to be on the air 100% of the time.
Right. Well, I just want to ask our listeners up there in Houghton and Iron Mountain, you tune us in. We'd like to know where they're at, right?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that me as I'm a ham radio operator, and I always like to see how far the signal will go, especially with the terrain and everything. I just like to see how it goes. And what I also like to see is how the stations blend together. So one, as you're driving through one area, you start losing a station here, you start picking up the other station. So just as we get listener reports, we really appreciate that.
Right. So listeners, you can you can go to our website, which is strongtowerradio.org.
Or str.fm.
That's right. You can get to the website that way. And there is a way to send an email, or you can call us. And our number is 231-468-2087. That is, again, 231-468-2087. And we love to hear from our listeners.
We do.
Okay, yes. But absolutely. Especially now that these are new stations on the air, we'd like to know where you're hearing it from. Because sometimes the the station is not supposed to be in that area, but they're hearing it.
Well, that's what happened just a couple of days ago. We were driving up towards Houghton, and I tuned to 90.9, and I was able to hear it well beyond. I've got that app on my phone that shows me the coverage of the station, and we're well outside of the coverage area, but we're still here in the station.
What was that frequency?
90.9.
And where is that located?
That would be our Escanaba station.
Okay. And so you were hearing it where we figure we probably shouldn't be
at that time. We didn't have a radio station on in that area, but yeah, there's the Lord does amazing things with radio signals where people shouldn't be able to hear
it. And, so he can bend it if he needs to,
and people shouldn't be able to hear it. But like our friend up in Joanne, she could hear it on the other side of Lake Superior, and he connects people with where they need to hear the message.
That's right.
And I just want to give a shout out to our engineer up in the UP that we work with. Great guy. We were able to pray with him. And there was one night when we left a tower site, and he's also a ham radio operator, and we have ham radios in our vehicles to talk back and forth to each other. And he has one, and he talked to us for about an hour or so as we were traveling down the road.
Amen. Great guy.
Yeah. It kept us awake.
He's a wonderful Christian.
He's a really nice person. So,
and you know, all of our engineers, they're wonderful Christians.
We've been very blessed.
I think we have 7 or 8 engineers now out there in the field, and they're wonderful guys.
So God has sent us the right engineers.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. And the tower people that we worked with, the surveyor that we worked with in Iron Mountain, you know, all of these guys were professional, and they did their job, and they were nice. At least I think they were nice enough.
They were nice around. Sometimes you get frustrated whenever you're dealing with the rain, but yeah, they're great guys.
Well, I just want to remind our listeners, you know, Strong Tower Radio, where we got our name. It's Proverbs 18:10.
Goodness. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Yes.
The righteous run to it and are safe. And, you know, whenever you say that, Proverbs 18:10, I was down in the room that we have dedicated for prayer. There's no technology in there. I think we even took the clock out because of the battery. But I was looking for the verse that says, the heart of the king is in God's hands. And on the next page over, so you have Proverbs 18 on the left side, and on the right side, you have Proverbs 21, verse 1. And I thought, Lord, how fitting is it that strong tower, the two, when you close them up, they're right there.
Yeah.
God's hand is working through this. Even in the heart of the king, we saw time and again where he worked on people's hearts. And what initially was a no, God made a yes.
That's right. Well,
and he worked it out so that, you know, only God could be coordinated enough that the tower where we had the worst delays and the most setbacks, and we finally were like, we're not going to be able to use this tower location, would have been like 3-4 times more expensive than what we ended up doing.
Yeah. What we were originally looking at in our budget, we're paying a third of that at this other location.
Yeah. Well, yes. God doesn't want any wasted money. You know? So, well, listeners, yes, wherever you listen from, we'd love to hear from you. And you can call and give us prayer requests. We have a prayer team out there, and we send out prayer requests. So thank you so much for listening, and we just pray that Strong Tower Radio is a blessing to you. Thank you, David and Bethany, for your dedication to Strong Tower Radio and to God.